May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from our epistle lesson, especially these words. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, I'm not entirely sure what possessed me this morning to preach on this text from James. James can be a challenging book to preach on. At first glance, there often seems like there's not a lot of gospel in much of the book of James. And this particular text from chapters 3 and 4 is no different, but I assure you the gospel is there. But first of all, I think it's important for us Christians to remember what our relationship is with God's law. In confirmation, you learned that the law does three things. It has three uses or three functions. The first, of course, is to curb bad behavior, to keep us and society on the straight and narrow by having laws with punishments to keep us from breaking those laws. The second function of the law is as a mirror, and for Lutherans, this is the most important one. It shows us our sin. And the third function of the law is only for Christians. Its function is to keep us doing what God wants us to do. We delight in God's law because we know that God's law is the best way for us to live. Whereas the unbeliever hates God's law and doesn't want to put himself or herself in submission to it, the Christian knows that God's law is good. We may not always like it, but we trust that what God tells us to do is actually best for us. We trust that following God's law is the best way for us to behave. But even as Christians, our relationship with God's law can at some times be challenging. We don't always want to hear it. This is for a variety of reasons, but James points out a few of them in our text this morning. The first is our desire to have friendship with the world. Now, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean you can't or shouldn't have friends that are unbelievers. No, that's not the point at all. James is speaking about friendship with the world, being accepting, tolerating, or even embracing the ideas, behaviors, and philosophies that we see in our culture around us, those things that are opposed to God. This is very tempting for us because most of us, by nature, don't like to stand out. We sort of want to blend in. And that temptation can be quite subtle. We can be tempted in the workplace to act just like everyone else. We can be tempted by the sexually charged environment around us that says, oh, sex outside of marriage is fine, or a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman, and so on. We can be tempted to do things on Sunday morning that are more fun than going to church, like sleeping in, sports, whatever it may be. As a former pastor of mine used to say, whenever someone wasn't in church, he would say, oh, they're worshiping at St. Mattress. We can be tempted by the luxuries of this world to believe that something we want is actually something we need. We're tempted to withhold grudges. Tempted to withhold forgiveness like the world does. This is friendship with the world. As James exhorts us, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. For you see, Christians are supposed to look different. We are strangers to this world. We are to look weird and unusual to the rest of the world. A mission fundraiser I know from Iowa always tells missionaries and donors when they come into his office, you're not normal. It's not normal. We're not normal. We shouldn't be normal. Coming to church on Sunday morning isn't normal. Giving money to a church when you could spend it on yourself is not normal. Taking the time to hear God's word instead of doing something else isn't normal. And being not normal is a good thing. We are not friends with this world. Our home is in heaven. We are to be in the world, yes, but as lights shining in the darkness, as witnesses to the hope that we have in Christ. We see the disciples struggling with this very temptation in our gospel lesson this morning. Jesus tells them something really important. He says, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." That's a big deal. That's the deal. That's why Jesus came, after all, and they don't get it. And so what is the next thing the disciples start talking about? Which one of them is the greatest? And we scratch our heads and we say, really? They're seeking friendship with the world that values strength over meekness, that values pride over humility. That's what the disciples' problem is, and that's often what our problem is, our own pride. We now have a whole month where we're supposed to celebrate pride. Our pride is hurt when we're offended and others lash out at us, so we fight back. Our pride is hurt when someone points out our sin to us, so we dig in all the harder. Our pride is hurt when people treat us differently for our faith, and so we're tempted to embrace the world. As the proverb says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And as James reminds us, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. That is what God says. Be humbled. Consider others as better than yourselves. Be willing to give up your own desires for the good of your neighbor. And as we see ourselves reflected in the mirror of God's law, in that second use of the law, we have nowhere to turn but back to Christ. The law shows us what we should be like, and it shows what Jesus is like. Jesus kept the law perfectly. As he promised, as he prophesied to his disciples, Jesus was delivered over to the Roman authorities. He was killed. They killed him on a cross, and on the third day, he did rise from the dead. Jesus submitted to the will of his Father. He is the Lamb that went uncomplaining forth. He is the gentle Lamb led to the slaughter, as Jeremiah foretold. He is first, but he made himself last. He who is the King made himself a servant of all. He made himself your servant. As he washed the feet of the disciples on Maundy Thursday, so he serves you from this very altar. He is the wisdom from above, first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. He, though he was and is God, was not proud, but humble. The world is at enmity with God, but Jesus allows himself to suffer the wrath of that enmity. Jesus is the one who made peace and now reaps a harvest of righteousness in us, God's people. Jesus became God's enemy on the cross, so you wouldn't be. So that you and I are now God's friends. No longer friends of this world, but friends of God. Children of the Heavenly Father. That is simply who we are. And in light of our identity, in light of this new identity in Christ, St. James reminds us, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's what children of the Heavenly Father are to do, to submit to his authority. We still sin. That is, we at times refuse to submit ourselves to God's will. But doing so, submission is really for us repentance. Repenting of our sin. Receiving God's forgiveness, which is always there waiting for us. James goes on to tell us, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's striking. The devil's going to run away from you. That's the language James uses. All the methods that the devil uses to cause us to sin, this world, our sinful flesh, we are to resist. Next week's gospel lesson, Jesus is going to tell us things like, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. But there is a promise there as well. The devil will flee from you. That's pretty amazing. We see that the demons fled from those whom they possessed as soon as they heard Jesus' voice. Jesus himself was able to make Satan flee away from him in the wilderness when he properly applied God's word to him. And so the devil will flee from you. The devil flees from you because you're God's child. You're no longer God's enemy, you're his friend, and Satan attacks friends of the Almighty. The devil can't stand to be in Christ's righteousness, in which you are clothed in your baptism. And as the devil flees from us, James gives us another promise from God. We are to turn back to God, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to the things of God. Draw near to God's word. Draw near to God as you remember your baptism when he put his name on you. Draw near to the altar of the Lord where he feeds you his body and his blood. This is an incredible promise that James gives us. God will draw near to you. Not in wrath, not in vengeance, but in mercy and grace and kindness and friendship. God is everywhere, yes, but he promises to draw near to you for your good in certain places, in certain ways. Here, we are strengthened for the spiritual warfare that defines our lives on this earth. Here, we receive Christ's gifts. Here, we are strengthened by the mutual consolation of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is through these things that we can, by God's power alone, resist the devil and not become friends of this world. Christ has fulfilled the law for you. Christ's righteousness has been placed upon you. Christ has welcomed you as his friends, as his own dear children. Rejoice in that. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.